Hello, this is Dr. Randy Turpin, and we're continuing our study of a theology of healing by observing the ministry of Jesus in healing in the Gospels. Let's look now at Mark's Gospel, healing in Mark's Gospel. Mark portrays the mission of Christ and his disciples as one of great power against demonic forces. Mark's Gospel suggests that there is a correlation between intimacy with God and a person's ability to function in the supernatural. This is a very important lesson for us to learn. We can see it in Jesus' relationship with his Father as we read through the pages of Mark's Gospel. And the disciples certainly saw this example set by Jesus as well. In Mark's account, how did Jesus' relationship with his Father impact his ministry? The Scriptures present a pattern of engagement and disengagement in the Lord's ministry that is noteworthy. Engagement and disengagement. What am I talking about? Engagement in ministry followed by disengagement from ministry. Okay? I want to say it again. Jesus would engage in ministry, and then he would disengage from ministry. Well, for what purpose? For the sake of communion with his Father. He would engage in ministry, and then he would go right into a time of disengagement from ministry for the purpose of communion with his Heavenly Father. Jesus frequently retreated into solitary places to pray immediately after great manifestations of his power, or just prior to taking on a new or difficult phase of ministry. And that's a good example to us. And we need to see that. I've heard it put like this. Some people have defined the ministry of Jesus, the life and ministry of Jesus, in these words, that Jesus ministered between places of prayer. That basically defined his life. He would pray and then minister, pray and then minister. And so we need to really grasp the significance, the importance of an intimate communion with God the Father if we're ever going to be effective in ministering and healing. Mark's Gospel also contains some interesting portrayals of Jesus' methods. In Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37, here we see some unique elements not seen in other healing incidents of Jesus' ministry. A man was brought to Jesus who had both a speech and hearing impairment. His friends asked Jesus to place his hand on the man. Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd, but then Jesus did something very unusual. He put his fingers in the man's ears. He spit, and he touched his tongue. Perhaps the Lord took these unusual symbolic actions for the purpose of communicating with this man. Because when you think about it, the man was not able to hear. I mean, had Jesus spoken something, he would not have perceived it. So perhaps the Lord took these symbolic actions for the purpose of communicating with a man who could hear nothing that had been said. By seeing and feeling Jesus touching his ears and tongue, the man was receiving a message to which his faith might respond. Now, maybe that's the reason it went that way. But looking up to heaven, Jesus then sighed and said, "Be opened," and the man received healing. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26 demonstrates a healing in two phases. Jesus took a blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon it. Once again, a very unusual sequence of actions. Then Jesus asked him if he could see anything, and he looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes again and had him look up, and the text says his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. But why did Jesus spit? Why was the man not totally healed the first time Jesus placed his hands on him? Is there any significance to the fact that on some occasions Jesus draws people aside to minister to them, out of the view of the crowd? I don't have all the answers to these questions. It really don't. But this case also encourages a persistence in those times when favorable results are not always immediate. Okay, we see, you know, that if a person's sometimes when I'm ministering to people, I don't see an immediate result. I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, where's your pain right now? I say, well, when I came in here, it was on a level 9, but now I feel like it's dropped to a level 6, okay? Well, then I'll go at it and I'll pray and minister again, and then maybe there might be a total healing or it's even much better, okay? Well, we see a good example with Jesus. This first time in ministering to this person, he wasn't totally healed the first time he ministered, but he ministers to him again, then a total healing comes. So even with Jesus, sometimes healing takes place in these phases like this, okay? So I find that encouraging to me. Okay, there's a whole lot more in Mark's gospel to see in terms of healing, but that's all we're going to cover here because a lot of the episodes of healing are the same as what's covered in Matthew's gospel as well, okay? So we're going to go next into Luke's gospel looking at the ministry of healing.